Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, Power to Be You listeners and Rise to Win for our youth movement guests. And my name is Sandra Bueno, and I am coming to you live from West Palm Beach, Florida. And it is my pleasure to be with you today, as this weekend has been an intense weekend for me. And knowing that I am coming on the radio just gives me that sense of where I need to step up and continue delivering the way that I have, whether it's because I have to come and force myself because maybe things aren't going exactly the way that I want to, but at the end of the day is not how many times you fall down, but it's how many times you get up. And today is one of those occasions for me, but I am very happy to be here with you because all it takes is one person. All it takes is one word, one line, one suggestion, one story, one feeling to make a difference. And my purpose with Power to Be You and Rise to Win is so that you and I, people who are of a certain generation, the adult generation, so that we can step up and really be who we need to be in order to support the youth that we have coming behind us. And for me, truly, this is something that's very important because I've always said, if not us, who? And then if not now, when? And more evident than now is the fact that we are nearing the end of the year, and it is 2008. And everyone who's a small person, a young person, everyone who is alive now and who is walking around today and who is going to school in kindergarten, first grade, fifth grade, 10th grade, senior year in high school, these are our future. These are the kids who will be reigning and will be creating laws and will be taking our world forward. And you and I are so very much aware of what is taking place right now within our society, within our conditions, that when you look at that and you say, okay, if this is us, then what's going to happen with the younger population? What's going to happen with them? Because we are the ones who are equipping them. We are the ones who are teaching them or not. And what I'd like to share with you today is a truth within me, because I feel that though I have started the Rise to Win for Our Youth movement with the sense of this is a line in the sand and this is where we are all going to step up and say we're part of the problem or part of the solution, I also feel that there's a lot of awareness coming behind me. And all of you who have listened to me and who have heard some of the shows, I have always spoken about who we are as people, and my awakenment, if that's a word, has really come about from a spiritual perspective. And I feel that my purpose on earth is really to draw a line in the sand between people who believe in God and people who don't, people who don't feel that God is necessary in life. And I feel that though my purpose is really to bring personal development specifically to youth and more so to at-risk youth, I really think that the message that I'm bringing is standing for God and allowing God to come into your life, directing you. And last night I listened to a show on WRMB, I believe it was, and it was a scholar. It was also a minister who was talking about when there's an absence of God in people's lives, there were four actual events that take place, and I only caught two. Those were the two that really stayed in my head. One of those was the absence of morality, where without God, we as human beings have no sense of really what is moral and what limits we have as human beings. And the other was that there was no hope. And he also made this statement in reference to our young population. There was a study made that 2/3 of the young people are in complete mental disarray because they cannot learn in school, and it's not because their brain is not there to learn, but it's because they are so worried and so preoccupied and so stressed out over what is taking place in their homes and in their lives, the anxieties and just the frustrations and the fear that they're going through. Their complete inability to deal with today and more or less to deal with tomorrow, that when they go to school, they can't learn. They're not there. Their brain is not there, just, or their minds are not there just to take in information. They're more trying to figure out what's taking place and what's going to take place at home and what's taking place with their families and what's taking place with their peers and how are they going to make it and how are they going to fit in. So this gentleman, this is what he was basically talking about. And for me, you know, we can come and say, yeah, you can believe in your purpose, and yes, you can learn from different people, and yes, you can model their strategies. But none of these things make sense when our spirit is empty and when we have no sense of who we are as human people, as human beings. And this is something that really needs to change, because if not, we are going to just continue going down. And as a human race, we are either going to evolve or we're going to go extinct. So more than just seeing worse things continue to happen, we need to pick up and say, okay, what do we need to do? So the absence of a sense of a father figure, of a godly figure in our lives, is really what's missing. That is the spiritual side. The spiritual side is where we wake up every day and say, okay, God, help me. Help me to figure out a way, and help me to get out of my conditions that prevent me from going forward, or my confusion, or my loss. Or help me to deal with my frustration so that I may see clarity. Or help me to deal with my financial situation. Help me to find a job. Or, you know, that's where we take the pressure off of ourselves. When we can look and aspire to someone bigger than us, someone that we do not see, that's where faith starts to come in. And for our kids, you know, I look at these kids where I've spoken with some girls where when I asked them, I said, so where do you guys go for spiritual relief when you're home and you're upset with your mom and, you know, and you can't deal? And they said, well, we just go into our rooms. And I said, well, what do you do? Well, nothing. I go, well, how do you deal with it? Well, I don't know. Well, what do you use to just settle yourself or to feel better? And these girls have no sense. These are 17-year-old girls. Now, what takes place when a 17-year-old girl like that goes out into life and the first challenge comes upon her? When she has no sense of anything within, and then she can't go to her family or her mom because the mom's probably in the same level of disarray, can't connect to her father because her father's probably working all day long and they don't really even really know each other at an intimate level. She can't go to her school because now you're not supposed to say God, and the teachers are too busy dealing with everything else. You know, what happens to this person? What happens to this person if she happens to get pregnant and now she gives light to another child? Those are the situations that we are confronting right now. So for me, in coming to on this radio and the Rise to Win and the Power to Be You, it's really about saying, look, God is there for our spirit. God is the weaver. God is that gel that's putting it all together. And through him, we have the energy. Through him, we have the wisdom. Through him, we have the light of wanting to be more, of wanting to aspire for more, of wanting to honor who we are as human beings or as children or as parents or as a husband and a wife. Because without that moral fiber, then we just don't care. And we can just be and we can do whatever and without consequences because we don't care. You know, now I'm not coming to you and saying this just because I happen to think about it and say, oh, you know, this is what I come up with. No, I've had to live all of these things because in my life, even though I knew God, I also wasn't living by the standards, or I wasn't following the godly principles of how we should be. And all my life prior to that, I was always involved in different things and things that necessarily weren't becoming to me or were not morally sound. And all these things always led to me feeling bad, to me not being honored, or to me dishonoring myself, not being loyal, you know, not being committed, and just giving up, or, you know, not really being afraid of the consequences, always just taking it as, well, it's part of the experience, and yes, as long as I've learned, I'll continue going. And once I put myself in a position where I realized that the pain was so great, the pain, really, from my own actions, the results, you know, were so hurtful to me from an emotional standpoint through a relationship that did not go the way that I thought, or not even a relationship, just a situation with a man, that was finally that straw that, like they say, that broke the camel's back. After years of having been married, years of after having had a divorce, you know, even I believe it was after I had my son, and it was at that point that I was willing to say, okay, God, I haven't honored you because I haven't honored myself. And at that moment when I asked God's help and I said, God, just help me because this hurts so much, it was that moment that something happened in my head, and it was an acknowledgement that I would no longer live my life according to the way that I had always lived it, and that when it came to relationships, I would really honor the person from the inside out rather than from the outside in, meaning I wasn't going to look at a potential partner because of the shoes that he wore or because of the clothing that he had, and I was going to look more at his heart and his ethics and his conviction and his love for God and his desire to really be a good person. And as it was, when I met my husband and I were friends, and when we got engaged, we had not even held hands. And today we are together after being married for a year and a half, and it hasn't been easy because we're different people, because our natures are different, and because, you know, in my case, I really want to be that person that I know God has equipped me to be a person who can really use the gifts and who can really be successful because I'm applying my gifts to help other people. And through that, I am able to use my creativity to create and manufacture and just make products that now are going to be able to equip me with a financial stability. You know, rather than selling myself for time, I'm going to be able to sell what God has given me so that I can do good. So all of those things come with a lot of challenges. So within this, with my husband, one of the things that I do see is that I was convicted that he was the person that God put in my path to go forward with. And today when I have challenges, specifically from the financial standpoint, which is, you know, it's like the crisis point. Everything else you can fake over. When it comes down to a financial crisis, that's when you start really seeing yourself, and that's when everything turns sour, because now you really have to scatter and you have to really question your own abilities and question just how you've done things and, you know, what's going on and how is everything supposed to come around and how are you going to change it. And of course, a great deal of faith comes into that, and peace, and who you are during that time that makes you and that shows people really your nature. So when that takes place in that relationship, you know, for me, I also know that this is a test, and that I don't want to be where I used to be in the past, and that how I relate to him, I need to keep in mind what's in Scripture and how to be as a wife and how to be as a partner. So you know, a lot of the times I may want to override and I may want to just blurt out, and as I have, but then I'm brought back to just the scripture outlines, and that allows me to wage myself again and say, what, I'm not being such a nice person, and I'm not really honoring the other person. So going back to the radio show last night, without God, we really have no way of judging how we behave, and we really have no way of being responsible for our actions or our choices or how we relate to other people, how we speak to them, and then more so how we speak to ourselves. Because without hope, then all we do is criticize ourselves and our own inabilities. With hope, we can actually go to God and say, God, help me to figure this out. Help me to understand why this happened, or help me to see the learning lesson behind this challenging situation. What do you want me to know? And when you have hope that he's there, and that he's there in your darkest and your bleakest moment, that's when he's strong, then that allows you to hold on to something. And if people believe in every other man alive, and if we believe in all these human beings, and we believe what they say, why is it that people have such a difficult time believing in someone as mighty as God? You know, why? I can't understand how people can believe in evil, they'll believe in the occult, and they'll believe in witchcraft, they'll believe in astronomy, they'll believe in Plato and in Socrates, and, you know, Homer and philosophers and scientists, but they won't believe in a higher entity, a higher entity that all he was there to do was to show us our own abilities. You know, it's crazy. It dumbfounds me, because that's what really is killing us. Go back into when America was first discovered, the settlers, when America was first founded, God was all over. The people who went out and fought, they were always ministers. The people who stood for anything, they founded the principles on God-given principles. Even the right to bear arms. The right to bear arms wasn't about having a handgun so we can shoot somebody. It was a right to defend ourselves, and the fact that we were here in this country, and the fact that, you know, there was war. And we as men have just taken all of these things and just made such a big mess out of it. But now these kids have no idea, know which way to go. They have no sense of who they are, what they should believe in, what their value system is. You know, this whole positioning of postmodernism, that anything goes, and what you think is right, and what you think is right, and hey, we're all here free. That's an easy way to cop out. I myself have been there, because I myself didn't want the responsibility of being a powerful person, and being a powerful person means you have to claim your stake. You have to say, okay, what do I believe in? This is what I believe in. People like it or not, too bad. You know, I think that this is right. And we'd rather be liked. We'd rather be liked than really speak the truth. We're all afraid. We're all afraid of being criticized. We're afraid that, you know, our mess is going to be spread out everywhere and people are going to come and hold something over our heads. And at the end of the day, if we believe in God, then you know what? God knows it all. And if he's forgiven us and if he's taken us in, then and it says it in Scripture. If you stand, he who stands for God, no one can stand against him. And if we die for God, then where are we going? It beats staying here on this earth where we're always going to find some human frailty and have some human suffering. You know, we're here for such a brief amount of time that I think our time is meant to really spend it finding out what our true purpose is. And our true purpose never comes from that one object or that one material gain. I think that true purpose comes when we're able to manifest who we are from an emotional and a spiritual standpoint, a courageous standpoint. And when we can say that through what we did, we touched people's lives and we made somebody's life better. If imagine if you were in an island by yourself. And if you had everything you ever wanted, you had the luxury and the hotels and the money and the banks and the food and the wine and the cigars, but you were all alone. The boats, the games. Just think of being in an island with everything that you've ever wanted. But there were no other human beings. Now think if you were in an island and there was nothing else there, but it was full of people. Don't you think you would find someone with whom you could create something? Someone who would invent something? And don't you think that within time, a group of people would get together and say, how do we figure out, how do we get out of this island? And don't you think that you, irrespective of your sex, you'd find someone that say, oh my gosh, you know what, we could be partners. We can actually be companions. All wouldn't be good because I'm sure we would find someone that we didn't get along with, someone who would be envious, someone who would be a person who would criticize, someone who would be the pessimist. And that again goes back to who we are, our human frailty, our humanness, our humanity. We were perfect once and then we ended up sinning, as it says, and here we went. And here we are, trying to figure out what we're supposed to do. But truly, this generation that I belong to, the 60s, the 70s, people who were born back then and who are now in their 40s, early 40s, late 30s, that's who I speak to right now. Our parents had it going on. They had it right. Our parents believed in tradition. They believed in respect, and they believed in sacrifice, and they all did. All of these older people, they sacrificed. They sacrificed through the Depression. They sacrificed through the both wars. But what have we done? Our sacrifice comes from not wanting to be selfish, from not wanting to just stand for our own rights. I remember when I was when my son was born 8 years ago, and it took me a year. It took me one full year to get over the fact that I could no longer take care of me because I had to really devote a lot of my life to him. I remember driving and being at the turnpike here in Florida and looking at the mirror and saying, it's not about you. It's not about you. It's about your son. But I remember that. And that's crazy that I would have to tell myself that. Because it wasn't just out of my heart that I wanted to just be there for him. I wanted to be there for me. And it was like, who's going to take care of me? I've been taking care of this baby inside, and now what's going to happen? And nobody told me to have him. And when I had him, I was basically 33, 34 years old. That was about a good time to have a child. And had I not had him when I did, I probably wouldn't have never had a child. And my life wouldn't be what it is now. Again, I will say that really what I've been talking about with Power to Be You and Rise to Win, I have to draw the line in the sand and say, listen, what's going to create the difference for us is going to be the spiritual awareness of God in our lives and the external awareness that it takes practical tools and personal development education to equip us so that we can deal with today's life. We have advanced. We are surrounded by technology. The information superhighway called the web that links us up momentarily, instantaneously across the world. It used to take a week at a time to get the news out and to get it circulated. Now it takes less than a day. You know, when something happens, we can immediately know within minutes across the sea. So we need to be equipped with this, and we need to realize that for as long as we're deciding and acting and choosing by what's outside, we also have to have a very strong conviction and spiritual awareness of who we are internally. Otherwise, we're going to lose ourselves. We're going to let everything that comes, advertisers and marketers, and just because somebody pointed the finger and said, hey, you, or just because someone laughed at you, or just because someone said, you know what, you're beautiful, you're gorgeous, come my way, come this way. You know what, a lot of these people have a lot of psychology behind them, and they have a lot of ways, a lot of tricks, a lot of abilities to get other people to do what they want. And when we're hollow inside, then we think that what they're giving us is really genuine and truthful, and then we end up being hurt. So we need to have that moral compass, that moral ability to weigh ourselves against something that is true. If we are loved by a creator, then nobody can come and make us feel any less. If we have a creator who sent his own son to be killed for our sake and for our sins, then nothing that we've ever done can ever be held against us. Because by believing in God, we have already been pardoned, and he has paid the ultimate price. Therefore, we can walk with our head up high. When we serve the Lord, when we serve God, then we are doing what's right. And no matter what anyone says, and no matter what anyone does, and no matter what comes and befalls you, then we are able to really say, I am here. And I am his child. And I am able to be free. And I am able to walk forward knowing that he's there with me and he's going to guide me to where I need to be. For those of you who may be wondering or who may say, you know what, maybe let me see what she's talking about. I will direct you to the church that I go to here in West Palm Beach. You can go through online, and you can even streamline the services. Saturday night at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 9 and 11 in the morning. The address is gochristfellowship.com. And the pastor used to be a coach, Coach Mullins, Tom Mullins. He used to be a football coach, and then he actually received his calling, and he started creating a church, and now the church has turned into 4 different campuses, and they have an online ministry as well that's reaching right now approximately 47 different countries across the world, including in India and in China. So it's very exciting. But what's really great about Christ Fellowship is also that there's a lot of outreach. And when I spoke last time, I spoke with Pam Newsom, the program director for Urban Youth. Christ Fellowship works through Urban Youth Impact, and they do a lot of different ministries. So you're going to be hearing a lot of the different people that have, in one way or the other, something to do with Christ Fellowship. And I know that in a couple of weeks, I'll also be having Pastor Mullins on this show. So just listen up, and wherever you are in the world listening to me, this is an actual church that you can also participate in. So just hopefully this is something that in me sharing myself, you know, this might be just awaken you and for you to realize that the way to really go is first your spirit in align with God, align with who he is in ourselves, in our hearts, in our bodies. And life will start looking different, and also the challenges will come differently. So you believe in God that things aren't going to happen, because they do happen. But when they happen, you're a lot readier to deal with them and to hope you're able to say, God, as much as this hurts, please help me through it. As much as I can't